This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, June 19th, 2016. The Fourth Sunday After Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
In Christ you are all sons of God. May the words of my mouth and meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Going through the readings this week for today and think, okay, which one do you want to pick? Second one. It speaks so much of so many things about our faith in just four verses. Four verses, the Holy Spirit speaking through St. Paul, through Galatians, lays a foundation for our faith that it, well, which one do you pick? Well, kind of go across the board with them today, because it is good for us, particularly in the day and age in which we live, to understand what is expected of us when it comes to our faith. And yes, things are expected of you. It is not easy believism. You just can't look at God as this abstract deity that lives way far away, and he made everything, and now he's sort of up there as the doting old man that lets boys be boys. That is not who he is. That is not what he expects of you. That's not what he commands of you. It's not what he demands of you. We have to understand our faith foundationally, because in our day and age, there's a lot of things, and it's not what your church presents to you. It's what certain elements within your church will present to you. And these four verses today speak very profoundly to some of those things. One thing I brought up before, this idea of an easy believism. People generally speaking, again, this idea that God's just out there and he really doesn't care what we as individuals do because he knows that we're, we don't quite get it right and we have to work through our relationship with him on our own. It's completely the opposite. He dictates, I am God, this is who you are in relation to me, you will deal with me as I see fit. You will deal with me as I command. You will deal with me as I set up. Don't have to come up with it. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. That's it. Well, that's pretty mean-spirited. Well, guess what? It's really easy for us. You don't have to worry about anything. He's given it all to you by his grace. He has opened your eyes. That's why you're here today, or should be here, to understand that there are things that he wants you to do for him, worshiping him one day a week, for starters. Those are the things that he wants us to do. That is our faith. It's faith. We are not all sons of God just because. Now, in one sense, you are. Everybody's created by God. Everything is created by God. When we say we're all sons of God, we are not talking in a creative sense. St. Paul is not speaking in a creative sense. Because if you really step back and think about it, you wouldn't just say, well, God created us all, so we're all equal. Well, God created cows and cats and dogs, too. I pray that you don't think that you're equal with them. There are a bunch of people out there in the world who do. Our PETA friends, they're just all God's creations. I always like when they say that. God is probably the farthest thing from their minds. I'm not judging. Would never want to do that. When we talk about salvation, and that's what St. Paul's talking about, your salvation. To have a true faith in the true and the living God, you have to understand that first thing that Paul writes to us. And there's bookends on this. He doesn't just say, you're all sons of God. He says, in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. Got to be in Christ Jesus through faith. As I said, not a faith that you come up with on your own. You have to be in Christ Jesus. What do you mean in Christ Jesus? How does that happen? In Christ Jesus. What is the objective manifestation of our being in Christ Jesus? Our baptism. I always point out every time we do a baptism, every time we administer any of the sacraments, baptism, confirmation, a wedding, whatever, you shouldn't just watch it. I always emphasize, watch this, but remember your own. The same promises, the same vows that are made, the same prayers that are being said were said for you. Renew them. Pay attention to them. Because the same God who hovered over the baptismal font when you were baptized is the same one that hovers over the baptismal font of any person that's baptized. And praise God, He is immutable. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we, through the baptismal lavers, we are washed away from all original sin, any actual sins that we've committed. We truly put on Christ. We put Him on as a garment. That sounds so churchy. It sounds so ritual. But there's profound and objective meaning. When we say we put on Christ, St. John of Avila says that when you're baptized, you're not just bathed and anointed, but you are actually clothed with Jesus Christ Himself. And again, that can sound really abstract, but really, if you step back, everything that Jesus Christ has, His very being encompasses you. You wear it from henceforth. Jesus Christ's justice, His grace, His riches, His splendor. Everything that He has. This is truly overwhelming if you think about it. If you pay attention to your scriptures. When we think about Jesus Christ, if you delve into it, you're seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Say at the creed, He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Everything is His. Everything in heaven and on earth. And the scriptures say everything that He has is yours. If you're in union with Him. And the union starts at your baptism. Now for some as infants, others bring them forward. And until they come to an age of volition or understanding, the person who brings them up, their sponsors, their parents, their godparents, they have faith for that child. You come up as an adult, older, age of volition, you come up because of your faith. The integrity between the sacraments and faith cannot be separated. You cannot be in Christ Jesus and be a son of God through faith if you have not been baptized. Because Paul goes on to say under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. People that are not baptized into Christ have not put on Christ. They are not like you. Get that straight. They are not like you. Honor your Savior by knowing that you are different. I despise when I'll hear Catholics say, I'll be around and they'll say, I'm no different than you. They're trying to evangelize. I'm no different than you. Then why should I listen to you? You are different than them. You better be. You better know it. You have put on Christ through your baptism. You are different. Whether you know it or not, you are different objectively because of your baptism. Because it works because it's a sacrament. Ex opere operato. It works because of what it is and what was said. It doesn't have anything to do with the one who baptizes or the one who as long as everything is what it should be in the ritual itself, you are baptized into Christ and it works whether you know it or not. Not only our baptism, that's one of the bookends, our baptism, but the other one is our faith. Our faith is not something subjective. It is not your opinion. It is not how, that's how I approach God. This whole my God is this God. My God would never do that. My God would never be judgmental. Yeah, that is exactly what it is. Your God, an idol. Nothing but idolatry when a person says that. My God. It is not my God. He is just God. He does not conform to what we want. We conform to what He wants. The church ought never approach itself to conform itself to be attractive to the world. We show that we are markedly different, and then we tell people, you can have that different. But it is different. We're not supposed to be like them. Our faith is a living faith. When you are baptized and you put on Christ, your faith must be living and active. It has got to be real. It is not abstract philosophy. We have a reliquary up on behind the altar over there on the Raritan. It's a first-class relic of St. Maria Goretti. It is actually a little piece of St. Maria Goretti, that actual part of her body. St. Maria Goretti, an example par excellence of a living faith. A 12-year-old girl, 12, who endures a horrendous death to save her chastity. A 12-year-old girl. The world says, and this is really horrific, there are people in our four walls. I don't mean these four walls. I'm talking about the Catholic Church. Who will, you know, when you talk about chastity, it's, well, you know, that was the old days, and now we know things different now. Kids are going to do what they're going to do. Let's just, you know, try to fix it up every way we can, limit the damage, and just go. That's horrendous. For one thing, it is contradictory to your faith. It defies Catholic faith and morals to have that position. But when you look at an example like a 12-year-old girl who would endure a horrendous death, and you think that shows you right there that a person who truly have even a child who has a true and lively faith can overcome the most horrific temptations and assaults of this world, the flesh and the devil, and overcome them. That's why she is Saint Maria Goretti. And it's not old news. She is a modern saint. That's a true and living faith. We should all aspire to have that kind of faith. That's the kind of faith that St. Paul taught. Not about this the big man upstairs despise terms like that. He's the living and true God who spoke and everything leapt into existence, and He called you to Himself. That's where you need to go with this. That is your faith. That is being a child of God. That is being a son. And it's not everyone who's walking the face of the planet. It's you. It's people who have been called into His one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. Next subject. He goes on to say, there is neither Jew nor Greek, male nor female, slave nor free. You are all one in Christ Jesus. Again, in our day and age, there are so many people who love to take a portion of a verse like that and run with it. See, everybody's equal. It doesn't say that. It says that there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So we talked about before, this has to apply before this egalitarianism that Paul speaks about, and it's not a worldly egalitarianism. This idea that we're all equal applies to us. It is not everybody. And even in the church, it's not manifest in the way it should be, because we're still in this world. We're not over on the other side. St. Augustine actually talking about that particular verse, he says this oneness that is described there by St. Paul is not perfectly displayed in the temporal. It's not going to be displayed perfectly in this world. We should all approach each other in the church without respect of person. You could be the poorest person on the face of this planet, and you show up here, and you're early enough, and there are seats up front. Guess what? You got it. It's yours. Richest person in the world shows up. Some person of a high esteem, president, king, whatever. He shows up the back, and it's crowded right now. You're going to have to sit in the seat in the back. Money, stuff like that, doesn't have anything to do with what goes on in here from a salvific standpoint. They get the same sacrament. There is no differentiation. But you don't want to broad brush that and again think of egalitarianism or being equal in the way the world looks at it. I'm okay, you're okay, rank relativism. That doesn't even apply in the church. There are differences between roles in the church. That's just the way it is on this side. It's the way God instituted because that's the way things work here. You know, there's a difference between bishops and priests, right? You know, I might think their hats are real cool, but I can't wear one of them because I'm not a bishop. All right? They're bishops, I'm not. They could do things I can't. You know? I buy a new chalice. Guess what? I bless all kinds of stuff for people all the time. I can't bless a chalice. That's for a bishop to do. You know, I can't ordain anybody. I can dress up. I know all the words. I can make it look good. Guess what? I don't have the authority to do it. It would be null. Null and void. Because I'm not a bishop. Do I get all bent out of shape? Oh, I should be able to do that too. No. That's God's structure. We should appreciate that. The Holy Spirit never contradicts himself. You know, when he's talking about this, everybody there, you know, in Jesus Christ's eyes, salvation applies to the Jew and the Greek, to the slave and the free, to male and female, that it doesn't negate our roles in this world. St. Paul, the same guy who says, for instance, there's neither male nor female. He says that in Galatians. In Corinthians, he says, men, when you come into worship, do not have anything on your head. Don't have your head covered, men. Women, have your head covered when you come to worship. That's what he says. Well, he says right here, well, you must be bipolar. He says everything's equal there, and then he says do that, do that. There's differences in roles, and in one place he's talking about the liturgy, and the other place he's talking about salvation. That's why we need to know our scriptures. That's why we need to understand the nuances of our faith, and you just don't broad brush stuff. That's a problem in our day and age. We hear all this stuff because it sounds nice. It makes people feel good. And we don't say other things because they don't like that. I actually heard a cleric use the term, that this was third party. I didn't hear it personally, but I heard it a couple times. That the word icky. We don't talk about that because people think it's icky. That's profound. Icky. We need to always be pushing ourselves. Christ is always pushing us. We don't learn well when everything is hunky-dory. We take things for granted. It's when things get rough, when we need to push ourselves to understand things. Why this? Why that? Then you grow. You stagnate if you're just treading water. Just coming in here and going through the motions and everything. That's not what this is supposed to be about. Third thing. I'm trying to validate something. I'm always coming up and I'm always pointing out I harp on it frequently because I hear bad stuff about it frequently. And I don't want anybody to fall into the bad stuff that you hear frequently. This idea that if you claim Abraham as your father, you're okay with Jesus. All right? That's a lie. As a matter of fact, it's exactly the opposite of what Scripture says. The church teaches this. No, it doesn't. Okay? No, it doesn't. The church teaches what the Scriptures say. The church teaches what it has taught consistently for 2,000 years. There are a bunch of people in the church who teach things that appear to be contradictory to the way things have always been taught. This idea that if you're okay with Abraham, you're okay with Jesus. Let's read what the Holy Spirit says through St. Paul. If you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring. So it's just the opposite. Not if you claim Abraham, you're okay with Jesus. It's if you're okay with Jesus, then you're Abraham's offspring. That has manifested itself in some really horrendous ways in our church here recently. There was something that came out of Rome just a couple months ago that said, the church has no institutional mandate for the conversion of the Jews. That is the reason that Jesus Christ came first and foremost. He says, I came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Whether you like it or not, you're a secondary consideration. All right? That should make you feel good. It shouldn't make you feel bad. A lot of the world, oh, that's awful to be a secondary consideration. We should be on our faces before Almighty God every day that He has considered us as a secondary consideration to bring us to Himself, in addition with His chosen people, the people of Israel. We know from St. Paul at the end of Galatians that the church is the true Israel of God. The church does have a mandate for the conversion of the Jew. The church does have a mandate for the conversion of the Muslim. The church does have a mandate for the conversion of the sinners in the world. The church has a mandate to call people who claim the title Christian but are not in the Catholic Church to bring them into the fullness of the faith in the Catholic Church. That's your job as a Catholic. That is the Great Commission, the conversion of souls, no matter what they claim. So let's get this straight. Again, a lot of the stuff that you'll hear, and again, that's not what your church teaches. That's what certain elements in your church will present. Your church teaches this, that if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. All this being said, and you come away from this with a practical understanding, one, that you should know your scriptures. I say time and time again, and I've been emphasizing it, this is one of those deals that I harp on a tremendous amount because it is imperative. We are living in times where you, as the individual Catholic, need to know your faith because even sometimes Father's going to tell you something wrong. That's why everything that I run through my lips up here, I pray you're writing stuff down and I pray, you know, listen to it digitally and check up on it. Don't listen to it because of what I say. Listen to it because of what our Lord says and check up on it. God likes when you do that. All right? That's commendable. The Bereans did it to St. Paul. St. Paul, he went in there, taught. They searched the scriptures to see if it was true or not. That's what you were supposed to do. Learn your faith, because there is a whole lot of people out there, and a whole lot of them are wearing collars. A bunch of them are wearing red and purple hats that are telling you things that are not in conformity with what church has always taught, because they want to be warm and fuzzy, and they don't want people to feel icky about things. Learn these things. Learn them, because when you learn them, you will grow in faith. And when you grow in faith, then you will become closer to this one who is our Father. The Father who is loving to us, who cares immensely what we think about Him. I'll leave you with this, the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospel. You know, because you can come away from this kind of stuff going, well, does Jesus really care? Do you really care what people think? Because, you know, He knows we're frail and everything. The gospel today, He looks at His apostles and says, who do men say that I am? Well, they say a bunch of different things. Elijah, John the Baptist, prophet. Then He differentiates, showing that lack of everybody's the same. Because initially, who do men say that I am? Then He looks at them and says, who do you say that I am? Peter, you're the Christ of God. He's asking you. Because you're here, you're His disciple. Who do you say that I am? Once you know who He is, you need to present it to others. The Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost.